guests that I have in the chamber with us today. Over to my right and your left, Mr. President, are Victoria Damba, President of Missouri Association of Osteopathic Physicians and Surgeons, Bruce Williams, D.O., President of the Missouri Society of American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians, H. Danny Weaver, D.O., President and CEO of Kansas City University of Medicine and Bioscience College of Osteopathic Medicine, and that's Missouri's largest medical school. Darren Hogg, D.O., Dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine at KCUMB, and Jeff Sezowitz, D.O., Dean at A.T. Still University, Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine. And that is the first school of osteopathic medicine. And I've also got Jason Haxton, Director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine in Kirksville. And I'd encourage anybody that gets to Kirksville to tour that museum because it is very interesting. Also, Mr. President, up in the gallery, up behind us in the white jackets, are osteopathic students, faculty, and staff from the Kirksville School, ATSU, and KCUMB. I've also got osteopathic residents from DePere Hospital in St. Louis, Capital Regional Medical Center in Jeff City, and Northeast Regional Medical Center in Kirksville, as well as the osteopathic physicians from around the state. And I'd like the body to make them all feel very welcome in their capital.
Will all the guests of the senator from Lewis just introduced, please rise for a welcome. We're delighted to have all these distinguished physicians with us and students. Thank you. Senator from Phelps.
Introduction, very special guest, Mr. President. In the gallery behind us, I have Waynesville High School. They are chaperoned, and their teachers are Gary Young and Tim Belshi. And we need to conduct ourselves extremely well today because these 30 students scored the highest on the Missouri Constitution test. Please make them feel welcome.
Will the guests of the senator from Phelps please rise for welcome and recognition by the Senate? Further introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd. What? Oh, Senator from Cole?
Yes, sir. Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent now to introduce a very special guest.
Objection. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am honored this morning. I'd like the Senate and the body to listen to this because you won't hear it very often. It's my pleasure to introduce a constituent of mine and longtime former Senate employee, Miss Adelaide Decker, affectionately known as Lolly. Mrs. Decker celebrated her 99th birthday, Mr. President, last December. She began working in the Capitol in 1931 for the State Game and Fish Department located in the Capitol, then worked in the House and later in the Senate, retiring in 1980. This morning, Mrs. Decker told me that one of her buddies in the Capitol that she watched paint over in the House gallery was Thomas Hart Benton. Very few people, I'm sure, can say that to this day. Mrs. Decker has two children, Lolly and John, six grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, and still plays golf whenever she can. Please welcome this very special guest back to the Missouri State Senate.
Will the very special guest from the senator of the senator from Cole please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate? Very nice to have you here, ma'am. Senator from St. Francois.
Could I inquire the senator from Cole?
Does the senator from Cole yield?
Yes, I do.
He yields, you may inquire.
Senator, how many strokes does she give you on a round?
Well, she'd have to give me plenty. I'm sure Lolly could beat me.
Thank
silly.
You.
Thank you.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business. Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar. Senate bill 491, Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I ask that you lay that bill on the informal calendar.
Lay the bill on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 448, the senator from the second.
Mr. President, if you could please place that bill on the informal
calendar. Lay the bill on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 739, senator from the fourth.
Mr. President, would you please put that bill on the informal calendar?
Lay it on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 758, senator from Christian. The senator from Christian is not in the chamber that I see. Here he comes.
Mr. President, lay it on the informal calendar, please.
Shall be so ordered. Senate Bill 854, senator from Stoddard. The senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, please lay that bill over.
It will be laid on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 803, senator from the second. Be laid over. Senate Bill 817 and 774, senator from Polk, who is not with us. I'm sorry. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
I'll be so ordered. Senate Bill 906, senator from the 8th.
Please lay that bill on the informal calendar.
It will be laid on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 893, senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, please lay that bill on the informal calendar.
So ordered. Senate Bill 816, senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, please lay that bill on the informal calendar.
So ordered. Senate Bill 905, senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, please lay that bill over on the informal calendar.
So ordered. Senate Bill 657, senator from the second.
Finally, Mr. President, I would move that that bill be placed on the informal calendar.
So ordered. Senate Bill 45, senator from Franklin.
Would you be so kind as to put that on the informal calendar?
Ordered. Senate Bill 834, senator from Stoddard.
Formal calendar.
Shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 865, senator from Johnson.
President, would you lay that bill on the informal calendar?
So ordered. Senate Bill 454, senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 454 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 454 be declared perfected and order printed. Mr. President and colleagues, Senate Bill 454 is the formula bill. And this is a bill that affects all of our districts, the 522 school districts, which receive funding from the foundation formula. When we passed Senate Bill 287 in 2005, we all expected that the foundation formula would be fully funded. The formula was instituted with a seven-year phase-in period, and it worked very well when the foundation formula was fully funded. However, for the past 3 years, through this last 3 years of the phase-in process, the foundation formula has not been fully funded. And what happens is it creates some strange things in the foundation formula. What Senate Bill 454 is designed to do is to put predictability into the foundation formula, take out the discretionary authority that we may or may not be giving to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. As we know, this formula has been challenged in a lawsuit. It has been upheld to be constitutional, so that's a good thing. It's important that we do keep a formula as opposed to making wholesale changes in the formula every year, because once you do that, after a period of years, you really don't have a formula at all. So Senate Bill 454 is designed to put predictability. It's designed to eliminate the wild fluctuations in funding between our hold harmless districts and our foundation districts. A lot of work, a lot of discussion has been put into this bill, and I am anxious to hear some discussion today. I'd be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from St. Francis.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
Thank you. It being currently distributed, I will not close until it's fully distributed, and I would move for its adoption.
Thank you, Senator. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know we're going to discuss all the merits of this, and it may not go forward, or may go forward, and that's why I'm wanting to throw this on if possible. This past couple years, Doe Run led has entered an agreement because they've polluted the area around schools, around some streets in Jefferson County, Iron County, Reynolds, and Washington County. Now, they agreed to pay a penalty for this to go to the schools. But in our wisdom a few years ago, when we redid the school formula, on fear that local areas would start writing tickets to people and causing fines, they wanted to make sure that there was no encouragement to do that, so that that money, that fine money, would go to the state and be distributed all over the state. Problem that we didn't foresee, this fine was directly related to the damage caused to the young people of these counties through the lead that was left in the contaminated soil. And so what this does now is now they've got this fine to take care of these kids and try to provide some education in these poor areas, especially in Bunker and in South Iron and these areas. And yet, once they receive the money, the way the law now stands is that they'd have to give it back to the state, and then they actually got the money, but their money from the state would be a reduced dollar for all the money they sent in, just like it would a traffic ticket fine. It's not right. This money out of court was meant to try to help the local school districts that have lead problems from Doe Run. They paid it for that purpose, and all this amendment does is stick with that amended purpose. If I'd be happy to discuss it. I know that this bill is going to have a long time. I just wanted to show the people of the area that we acknowledge the problem, and I just got this a few weeks ago, been made aware of it, but I think it's something that this body needs to address, because when you have somebody fined for the specific purpose of providing for the local schools, then they have to give it to the state and they don't get a dime more. That's not why we set that fine provision up. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. President.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Franklin.
And I rise to seek unanimous consent to introduce special.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, to my right and your left, there's a couple of ladies up there that are keeping a close eye on me. They're the wife of my chief of staff. Her name is Sue Bailey, and my wife, Julie Nieves. They're up there keeping a close eye on me, and so I would ask that the body make both of them feel very welcome and tell them about all the good work I do here.
Will the guests of the Senator from Franklin please rise for recognition by the Senate? Senator from Johnson.
To inquire the maker of the amendment.
Does the Senator from St. Francis yield?
Yes, I yield. And I would say that the following presentation, that Senator probably need many more eyes to watch him down here than just those.
Did you notice how he said that to watch the good job that he's doing down here? I don't think we can debate those things.
Delusional.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I hope that you understand. I don't mean to derail you, and you have my word. If this would cause any problems in the other body with this, we can take it off. But I think it's only fair that this area, if they were the fine was meant to help their schools.
Right.
And mostly, you don't know, but in Park Hills, they've got all the dirt and all the playgrounds that have been removed. It's been replaced by cleaner. They've taken the dirt on the roads that they traveled and replaced it. But a lot of the schools have had all their playground, all their parking lot removed, and abated. That was one of the reasons for the fine. And then when they came down to the practical implementation, when we get money, then it says, well, if you give it to the state, the state's going to take it away from your...
Right, what it was designed to do. Right. And this amendment looks like it's very, very narrowly tailored. So it's
very
just,
narrowly, just for that specific purpose, because I think we need to address this
right
in the future, but I knew the body wouldn't want to go back and address it now at this point in this bill.
Right. It looks like it's a good amendment, and I will certainly be supporting it.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Senator wish to be heard. Senator from 15th.
To inquire the senator from the 13th district.
Does the senator from the 13th yield for inquiry?
He just left the chamber.
Yeah. I don't know if he does or not, and we won't know until he is summoned back into the chamber. Senator from the 13th. Senator from the 13th, do you yield for inquiry to the senator from the 15th? Proceed.
I thought it was appropriate, Senator, to start this long discussion about the formula with the senator that's been here in this Capitol the longest.
Yeah, and, I tell you what. I got my hair cut because people say I look younger when I get my hair cut. And in the last 4 weeks of my tenure, everyone's saying the longest serving, it makes you feel old. So I'm trying to look youthful.
Well, some people have said you look like Newt Gingrich.
You were here when the credit unions did their little portrait?
I wasn't. I've never had the caricature.
You go in, oh, God. They did it for, I think, all state reps and senators. You go in my office, it's still there, and it is a spitting image of Newt Gingrich. But I do not get near penguins.
Penguins, I was going to ask you, as if you've seen the penguins at the zoo. Well, I wanted to just talk, you know, sort of open this up with you, because I've taken a great interest in this issue over the last, I would say the last 2 years now. In my my baptism by fire on this issue as a, I think it was my first, maybe my second year, we were dealing with, Charlie Shields had a bill to deal with, well, we passed the supplemental. That's what it was. We passed the supplemental. We said we wanted to keep the hold harmless formula deal intact the way we funded in the supplemental. And the governor, I don't mean this as a partisan issue, more of a sort of a separation of powers issue, simply ignored the supplemental request and chose to sort of divide those reductions in funding equally, which had violated the basic tenet of the deal all along, which was you have formula districts that steadily get more money each year and hold harmless districts that never get any new money. And the premise behind that was, in exchange for that, you'll never get less money. And so that was sort of an eye-opening experience. And then probably a week later, Senator Shields came out, who's a great guy, came out with the, you know, these 16 super hold harmless districts, primarily in St. Louis County, that said, not only are you going to take a reduction that you never should have gotten or should be on the table because the deal would never got done in the first place, we're going to have a special assessment on those districts because whatever. We were playing Robin Hood that day, I guess. And many people on this floor who espoused to be, you know, the most conservative members of the Senate voted for that. And so that, so I started to look at this a little bit more and try to understand the genesis of how this thing came about, what was the rational basis, if there was one, and came to the conclusion, I mean, really is fundamentally the largest redistribution of wealth that we do every single year, and we fund education. And to some degree, you and I both accept we come from the St. Louis metropolitan area. We accept the fact that if we're going to build roads in other parts of the state, we're moving money from where we live in income taxes, sales tax, whatever, to other parts of the state. And it's a give and take. I get that. We, as the senator from Stoddard often jokes, I eat a lot of meat that is that's raised in other parts of the state. That's what makes Missouri a great state. But if you really go back into 19...
Real quick, though.
Yeah.
We are purchasing products that those individuals produce. So, give and take, where do we take? I mean, we give.
Yeah, and I've
and we take their products of their steaks and their cattle. Yes. We're
well, and I have
their products.
And the senator from the 24th, I think, did some research last year, and I'm sure we'll get to it at some point in this debate about the amount of money paid in income taxes from each Senate district to the state, and then how much money those Senate districts get back.
I'd like to see that. You brought that up one other time, and I'd like to see
it. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. Because when we hear about picking winners and losers, that's often missing from that debate, and I'd love to get to that at some point. But, you know, the other issue is, I think, fundamentally, what we've decided to do on this formula back in 1993, which you were serving at that time, right?
Yes.
We said, look, we need to pump more money into education. We need to have we need to make that a priority, all understandable. And what we said to districts at the time, the number of hold harmless districts at that time were much, much smaller, primarily at that time, almost exclusively suburban districts. You guys do a great job. Kirkwood, Clayton, Richmond, Maplewood, Richmond Heights. I don't want to, you know, exclude districts that the senator from the 14th represents because she has not a lot of districts that people would consider rich districts as they try to overgeneralize this debate, but districts that have made a decision locally to fund their schools because you know what? They're never going to get any more money from the state. That's not in the cards for them. So if they want to build new buildings, they want to hire teachers, they got to go to local taxpayers to fund education, okay? And so everybody wonders why, you know, as St. Louis County senators come up here and we're dealing with property tax issues all the time. It's because, look, we're assessed at a very high rate, okay? We're assessed at a high rate, and we know the only way we're going to get any more services, because we're not going to get it from the state, okay? We're not going to be able to come to the state for money. We've then, at that point, got to pay for it locally, especially the way the school districts are funded. And so Kirkwood, all those districts, you're doing such a great job. You're never going to get any more, never going to get any less. Okay, then fast forward to 2005. We decide we want to pump more money into the foundation formula at that point. Same deal. Okay, in order to get the hold harmless districts to sign off on this, at the time, the deal, the underlying fundamental premise was never get any less. There is an audit I have in this binder of mine from Claire McCaskill when she was auditor in 2003, where she, you know, sort of lays out, look, this is what the formula is based on, this fundamental premise that there's a revenue shift to other parts, which is fine, but those districts understand they're never going to get any more money, never going to get any less money.
There's a subsidization process in the foundation formula. That's what it is.
Yes, and that's really what it is. It's the way that we've decided to fund education. And I accept the fact that there are parts of the state that don't have the ability to raise revenue like other parts of the state. But at some point, okay, we have to have a discussion about equity and fairness. And all this bill is, with all due respect to the senator from Johnson, who is a dear friend, a learned colleague, and somebody that I respect a lot, all this is a $60 million shift away from schools that have never gotten any new money. And we can call it a fix, and we can talk about predictability, and we can, you know, characterize it any way we want, but at the end of the day, it's a $60 million shift away from those districts. And if we want to put it in special session terms, over a 15-year period, okay, what is that? A billion dollar shift away from districts that tax themselves, don't get any state revenue, and then we've solved the problem. We go back to our superintendents and say, look, we got you more money. Congratulations. And I just think, I've been talking about this, and other people have been talking about this, for 2 years. I was doing some research on this back in 2010, having this same discussion. Has there been any movement on the dollar value modifier? Okay? You just were on this floor yesterday talking about prevailing wage. What are we trying to accomplish with prevailing wage? We want to honestly take into account the difference of the cost of living between Kirkwood and Knobnoster. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. But heaven forbid we try to do that in the foundation formula. I mean, the inconsistency, and all I've ever advocated for is, not necessarily, because some of my districts benefit, some of them don't, is a level of equity that just is not there in the foundation formula right now.
With the history, and you just asked for level equity funding, that would be dealing with, and when the Senator Shields handled the foundation formula, quote, fix, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce came out wanting to deal with more equity in the assessment process throughout the state, fair market value, or whatever the term is called, I can't think of. And we pushed for it. We could not get it. And once again, the urban elected officials, or the suburban elected officials, did not unite. And we did not get that. Dealing with your hold harmless issue that you're bringing up and which you're going to give a dissertation about, you're right, 1993, basically when we did the foundation formula, is an elected official, just like they did in 2005. They did a printout, are you going to make money or lose money? So basically you went down and I'd look at Riverview Gardens, Ferguson Florissant, Hazelwood. If they're all getting plus, I'm for it. There was also a tax increase in that issue as well, but I'm for it. What happened in that foundation formula is you had these hold harmless districts because the formula was determined about by local participation. So in your and I mind, that means we're penalized for taxing ourselves higher at the local property tax rate.
Right.
Because there's that insinuation, you can afford it. You're from them big school districts, you can afford it. Senator, I don't know about you, but my citizens don't enjoy paying taxes either.
Right.
So when they're taking this hit and voting for a tax increase, they're taking the responsibility.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Newton, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I beg the indulgence of the debaters and ask for unanimous consent for an introduction.
Hearing no objection. Senator, proceed.
Today we have members of the Newton and McDonald County FFA chapters who are here looking at the legislature, and there we have Jesse Johnson and Chase Teague, members of the Neil Shaw High School FFA chapter who are on the agronomy team, and placed within the top seven at the national event, we have Zachary Aldrich, Jared Ball, Megan Jones, and Maddie Guerin, and would ask, and we have some other members in the upper gallery, would ask the body to make them feel welcome.
The guests of the senator from Newton, please rise, and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from Green, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I also seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, we have some students who are listening to this debate about education intently. They got up early this morning to come to Jefferson City and learn about state government. It's the St. Joseph Catholic Academy, the eighth grade class from Springfield. There's 11 students, four chaperones, and their teacher, Tammy. And I would ask that they be made welcome as they visit.
Would the guests of the senator from Green please rise and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from the 15th, you may resume.
Or my inquiry, or to continue my inquiry with the senator from the 13th.
Proceed.
Okay, so in 1993, we did this foundation farmland, and I was saying, basically, in the urban communities, we tax ourselves. So we are penalized. That's when the Hold Harmless districts came around. There was this one lady who I did Leadership St. Louis with in 1997. She was the head of one of the South County school districts, I think, is Oakville School District, maybe. Her name was Gay Tompkins. And
oh, sure, I know Gay. She's very involved in autism, too. I went to college with her daughter. Yeah.
The class act. I really have a lot of respect for her. Well, she organized several of the superintendents for the Hold Harmless school districts because throughout the 90s, we had more and more funding coming to the state. That's when we created all these tax credit programs, is because we could not spend and we didn't want to give all the money back because there might be a day when the economy goes sour that we didn't want to eliminate these taxes. So at that time, the Hold Harmless school districts came up and said, we'd like a fix in the formula. We'd like to start getting more money because there's more money coming into the formula, and we don't think we were treated fairly in 1993. So they hired several lobbyists, and they fought the issue up until 2002, passed after I left the House. They continued to come up fighting for the issue and all legislators saying, listen, you're held harmless. You're not going to lose anything in bad times, but you're not getting any new revenue.
Yeah, you got a deal where you agreed to it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that was the deal they were committed to. So even throughout the 2000s, when I came back up here in the Senate in 2005, those Hold Harmless school districts still had their same lobbying firm, still trugging away trying to get, when the formula changed, some more fairness and equity in the formula for them, because once again, they weren't getting any new revenues, but once again, they were told you're not going to get any revenues taken away. Now, in St. Louis County, in the area I represent, I do not have any Hold Harmless school districts. But the reason I agree...
Well, Pattonville, you have a piece of Pattonville,
oh,
don't you?
No, I don't go that far. The furthest west I go is Hazelwood.
Okay.
Hazelwood West. I take in the outskirts of the city of Hazelwood and all of Florissant. I'm 48 years old. You interrupt me, you screw up my train of thought.
Sorry.
Okay? And because I have burned up with you a few
you
of
said
my...
You don't have any... You don't have any...
Two of my brain cells, those memory cells, with Anheuser-Busch products, you can't stop me in my train
sorry,
of thought.
Sorry about that.
So anyway, fast forward to 2005. We're dealing with the issue again. Once again, the Hold Harmless school districts say we want to be treated more equitable. So now we're at this stage of the game where there's money that's going to be taken away. So that agreement to those school districts, which you represent, the senator from the 24th, the senator, some of the districts from the senator from 14th, and the senator from 4th, once again, they weren't treated so-called fairly throughout a 20-year process of the foundation formula, actually a 19-year process. Now we're coming back and saying, oh, by the way, times are tough. We're going to take some money away from you now.
Right.
They broke their deal. That's why I agree with you and all my colleagues from the St. Louis County metropolitan area. Even though I do not have any Hold Harmless districts, I watched as you were held off. Now they're saying we want to take, and it's not right and it's not fair. You as a state senator from that region have stood up here for the last 2 years and said, you're not going to keep breaking deals to my constituents. You're not going to keep penalizing my constituents because they vote property tax increases upon themselves to fund their public school system. At the same time, they pay income tax and a state sales tax for that money to come to Jefferson City to fund the public schools. We're tired of being treated unfairly. Now you really want to treat us unfairly. So, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
Well, and I knew that that was your perspective, having come from an area that actually doesn't have hold harmless. But knowing how this deal had been brokered a long time ago, how it was the most recent iteration of it in 2005, and if the hold harmless districts would have came and said, hey, yeah, we know you're pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into formula districts, we want some of that, everybody here would have said, no, I mean, that's nuts, we got a deal.
They've done that to you in the past.
But now a situation is, well, everybody's got to tighten their belts and share the pain. I mean, it's whether you think that...
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Boone, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Seek unanimous consent for introduction of a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my right, we have here today Dr. Randy Mueller. He's the doctor of the day. Dr. Mueller is a critical care surgeon in Columbia, graduated from the University of Missouri School of Medicine, and he's associated with the Emergency Physicians of Mid-Missouri PC in Columbia, and I'd ask the body make him feel welcome.
Would the body please make the guest of the Senator from Boone feel welcome. Senator from 15th, you may proceed.
Continue the inquiry.
Here's another kicker on, and I'm not trying to beat up on the rural school districts, but here's another kicker in the 90s when there was money. They started coming up and saying, they get from the foundation formula money for operations. Now, to do capital improvements is the responsibility of the local school district taxing entity. They have to go for capital improvement. That's separate. When the 90s, they started coming up too and saying, besides funding our foundation and our operations to help subsidize our school systems, we now want you to help build our school building. Why can't you do that? That's your responsibility, because under the Constitution, you're required to give everybody an opportunity for
education. I got another one for you. How about career ladder? In Kirkwood, the professional development that's paid for those comes from local tax dollars. Career ladder, well, that's a state function for primarily formula districts. I mean, the parade goes on, and I'm not even saying that you need to... All I'm saying in this whole thing is honor the deal. Honor the deal. And also, if we're going to look at it, because if anybody doesn't believe this isn't a rewrite of the formula, okay, everybody knows this wouldn't have passed in 2005 if the hold harmless didn't really mean hold harmless. So if you want to unwind one piece of it, let's look at the whole thing. I mean, let's look at... We're paying school districts, Senator, for kids that don't attend the school. With the small school grant, if you have less than 350 kids, okay, you were locked in 2005. So if you had 340 kids then and you have 200 kids now, you're being paid for phantom kids. And that was a political calculation to get votes, I guess. I wasn't here. But that's not really on the table. The dollar value modifier really only takes into account a 10% spread of the cost of living difference. And like I said, you know, we're talking about prevailing wage. Great. Great. But if we want to be consistent, let's use that same kind of dynamic for the foundation formula. And that's all I'm asking for is, if we're going to open it up, let's really open it up and take an honest look at where we're at, because we're not fully funding it. So let's look at it.
To bring up your issue in the history, you're absolutely right. If you want to talk about fairness, you want to talk about equity, you want to listen to your arguments, because your school districts have not been treated fairly, and in my position they have been penalized for being responsible of taxing themselves too high at a local level. So that issue needs to be addressed. Those two issues you brought up in your statement need to be addressed when we do the foundation formula, because there has to come a point in time when people throughout the entire state of Missouri realize people from the urban areas get tired of paying taxes too. And as we talked about prevailing wage, we got this higher cost of living. Well, if we got that higher cost of living, our wage rates are going down, our taxes are continually stable or going up, we're having a tough time paying those monthly bills as well. So just because we live in the urban areas does not mean we can continue to subsidize all the school children throughout the state. Everybody needs to take the responsibility. Where my major frustration occurs is when we bring up this issue earlier in the year when we passed a resolution that increased the assessed valuation of farm property in rural Missouri 8%, because 2 years ago the tax commission said it needs to be raised 38%. We passed a resolution to stop that increase. That increase of the assessed valuation has not happened since 1996. My residential property has gone up plenty of times since 1996. Theirs hasn't gone up any since 1996. The tax commission says 2 years ago, you need to go up 38%. We say no. The Farm Bureau lobbies it. The rural communities win. So then the senator from Lewis again introduces it because the tax commission comes back and says, you need to raise it at least 8%. We pass a resolution, no, we're not going to let you increase the valuation of the property. I'm at the point.
When was the last time that was?
1996.
96, okay.
Last time. I'm at the point, and we're dealing with it in the appropriations process on the assessment maintenance portion. We're lowering that down to $3 for every parcel from $342. I'm at the point now, if people in these communities don't want the value of their property to go up because they're going to have to pay more taxes to provide services at their local county government level, their municipal government level, and their school district level, if they don't want to fund it, fine. But just don't come ask my constituents to help bail you out.
Right, local control, right?
Pay your share for, yeah, local control. If you don't want to pay your fair share, that's fine. You want your schools to go down, that's fine. We don't have the income you have, that's fine. Don't come asking, because the constituents I represent can't afford it either.
And I gave this example, I think, the other day, but Kirkwood doesn't have full-day kindergarten. It's one of the few districts in St. Louis County that doesn't have full-day kindergarten. So they don't have space. They don't have space in their buildings to have full-day kindergarten in every building, which services different sections of the Kirkwood School District. And we live by North Glendale. Kirkwood School District said, we've heard from residents, they want this. Now, did they come to Jefferson City and say, boy, oh boy, we need to pump more money into the formula so we can keep getting hundreds of millions of more dollars for us, or the example that you gave for facility or whatever? No, they said, we're going to go to the taxpayers, we're going to ask them, do you want to do it? And people said yes. There's a bond issue, there's a tax levy, and generally the area that I represent is supportive of those things. Not all the time, but generally supportive. And so when you have this dynamic that's created where formula districts, during the phase-in when we were pumping more money, there's never really an incentive, I don't think, to go to local taxpayers, because the state keeps pumping more and more money into the formula. And that's just not the dynamic that I have in the area that I represent. That's not the world that I live in. And so, to me, it's offensive to come here now with a bill to say, yeah. And by the way, I would point out, this isn't a cut. We're not cutting anything in K-12. Okay, it's like the example in Washington when, you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, but I would say sometimes when Reagan would propose a budget and the Democrats say, well, he cut spending on this program, where really he kept funding where it was, it just wasn't the increase that people wanted. I find that very interesting with the foundation formula. We have targets that in 2005 were meant to be hit when they passed that law. But we haven't, unlike many other states, we haven't cut K-12. We're spending more on K-12 this year than we ever have in the history of the state of Missouri. And so I'm not saying that that's enough. I'm just saying it's not fair to say we're cutting K-12 or we're underfunding K-12. We're underfunding the formula. And it's possible back in 2005, maybe people had too rosy of glasses on as far as what the economy and what everything was going to look like. And nobody can predict the future. But when you're saying we're going to pump in these many hundreds of millions of dollars, and here we are. And why is this issue coming to a head? And I think for the benefit of the five people listening on the internet, this may be important. The phase-in was we're supposed to be fully phased in this year. So when we're during the phase-in and we're pumping that money in and you're meeting those targets, that's great. That's what we're supposed to be doing. When we passed that supplemental budget a couple years ago,
we were dealing with the situation where, for the first time, we weren't hitting those targets. And the law, admittedly, is a little unclear as to how do you deal with the not being completely funded for that particular year of the phase-in. The governor took the position, although I think in violation of his constitutional authority, that he was just going to do it on his own and prorate equally, even though we said we want you to keep the deal. And since then, DESE has been doing that same thing every year. So the districts I represent get less money than they should have, than they should under the formula. But the reason why this year is different, and the reason why there's political pressure to do it this year, is we're at the final year of the phase-in. The only mechanism in the law to deal with that is a reduction of the student adequacy target. And regardless of what people who are affiliated with the state school board or DESE might be telling people, or the dynamic they're trying to create, they have a duty to follow the law. They do not have the ability to reduce funding for hold harmless districts anymore. They can't. That's the impetus for this legislation. And if they do it, they're breaking the law. And if they do it, they ought to be sued. And if they are sued, they're going to lose. And if they do lose, it's going to cost taxpayers a lot of money. And so I just think it's curious. The law is to me, as a lawyer, as somebody, the reason why I studied law to become a lawyer is I think it's what separates...
Lawyer who's a DeSmet graduate.
Right. The Jesuits put something in my head. I respect the law. And sometimes I don't like the outcome, but rules matter. The law matters. It's what makes a republic stand the test of time, because we don't follow men, we follow the law. Okay? And so here we have a law that says, here's what you're supposed to do, DESE. My guess is they ignore it. And they'll do the politically expedient thing. We're in election year, yada, yada. They'll ignore it. They'll continue doing what they're doing.
I think you are in the right direction, standing up and fighting for your constituency. And I will, throughout this battle, be with you on that, because, once again, it's, to me, not having hold harmless, it's a fairness issue. And your constituents are being treated unfairly. And if we want to do something that's right, they need to deal with the issues you, the senator from the 24th, 1st, and 14th have on this issue.
Well, let me give you an example of that inequity. We also tax ourselves in St. Louis County to provide services to the
If the senator from the 24th is listening, I'd like to see that breakdown he did of all the districts sometime.
I've got it in this. Yeah, well, I'll get it to you.
No, but he might be in his office. If he'd like to share that with his colleague from the 13th, that would be appreciative.
Yeah, I think the senator from the 24th has some things to say on this, too.
Well, I don't want to take up all his time, then.
Well, no, I just love talking to
you. Oh, wait. I don't want to interrupt you, but you know, I think one of the things you should do is contact KMOV Channel 4 and let them ask them to let you be allowed to do I'm Just Saying on this issue.
Well, you know what the frustrating part is? A lot of people back home don't even know this dynamic.
That's why I'm saying seriously, and I don't think they allow politicians.
They don't.
Because they think it's a political advertisement for them. But something on that to educate the St. Louis.
Boy, that would be a lot to put. This would be a lot to put in 30 seconds, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yep. I'm just saying.
They're breaking the deal. Call somebody. We need help. But
they're,
you know,
from Senator from the 23rd's phone's not ringing too often lately. Why don't you just put his phone number?
Yeah, I'd like to give out his number every once in a while. Maybe this is the issue. Stop the madness. Call the senator from the 23rd.
Why don't I like the senator from St. Francis's? What? Oh, I got
it. You know, in the Senate, we get to talk about anything. We could talk about the Cardinals. You know, they're starting off.
They won last night.
They did.
I do want to thank the senator from the 23rd for adjourning when he did, because I was able to join you at the Irish facility last night and watch the bottom of the 10th and watch the Cardinals win. So I do appreciate allowing some of us.
It's like we were back in North County.
Back in North County.
another example of taxing ourselves, we have a special school district in St. Louis County where we had decided locally.
You know, there's two school districts in the state of Missouri that have a special school district which the local taxpayers fund.
What's the other one?
Hemscott County.
Oh, do they?
It's the senator from the 25th, but a farmer state rep that I serve with, Denny Meredith's father, was on the school board and created the special school district in Pemscott County. They do, just like us, a separate property tax for their special school district. There's only two in the state, those two.
Well, and as you know, my son attends Kirkwood School District. He's nonverbal, developmentally disabled, gets a lot of services throughout the day at Tillman. It's a great school. It's a great environment. And those were really provided by Special School District. They come in and they pay for those services. We
not
tax
get
ourselves.
Any of the- Yeah. We do not get any of those dollars extra from the formula in those programs because, once again, we tax ourselves.
That's right. And did you know what the senator from Johnson's legislation does to special school district?
No, what does it do to the special school district?
It is a reduction of revenue of $2.9 million.
Now, why would the senator from Johnson want to hurt our special school
district? Well, I don't think he's purposely targeting special school district, but I think it's important for people to understand the consequences of what we're talking about. It's a $60 million shift away from districts that have never gotten any new money. But here's where the rubber meets the road. $2.9 million. If DESE does what DESE might do, okay, in these little spreadsheets that they've given us, I think, to sort of threaten us, you better do the Senator from Johnson's bill, or here's what we might do, that would cost special school district $5.2 million. If we do this supposed compromise plan by Representative Thompson, special school district would cost them $1.25 million. To me, in a situation where we're taxing ourselves to provide those vital services to developmentally disabled, to me it is offensive to come to this floor and propose a solution that is half-hearted, has not taken into account other people's points of view, and is not a global solution to this problem. You can buy 6,000 iPads. You can buy an iPad for every kid in special school district in St. Louis County for that money. That's about to be taken away from them because other folks want to violate a deal that they signed on to in 2005. And I just don't operate like that. If I sign a deal, that's the deal. If that's the law, that's the law.
And penalize those that take the responsibility upon themselves, those taxpayers, to fund that.
And we fund parents as teachers locally, okay? We've made that decision given a lot of the, there's been authorizing language that locally you can do it because the state cut back on parents as teachers a couple years ago. I serve on the local parents as teachers board in Kirkwood. With the reductions that this bill...
When do you have time to be a lawyer?
It drives my wife nuts. I try to be a lawyer. You know, the problem is the only thing you have to sell as a lawyer is time. And I just have less time up here. So I'm doing what I can.
I have some family that are coming up on a train any minute now, and I want to continue this debate. But if there's maybe the senator from the 24th you'd like to touch base.
Yeah, there's some other folks. I wanted to start with you out of respect for your service here.
And I know with the old man.
Yeah. Well, you don't look like an old man. You look like Newt Gingrich. Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator from 15th.
I'd like to inquire the senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th, do you yield?
Yes.
She yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. And I know you represent a number of districts that don't quite fit into the characterization that people often like to place on what hold harmless districts mean. We haven't even talked about the hold harmless districts that the senator from Daviess County represents, which are sort of declining enrollment, smaller districts that stand to lose with this proposal too. But you represent districts that aren't necessarily categorized as quote unquote super rich, but they've made a decision locally to fund their schools.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And you know, it's interesting because one of those school districts is Normandy, and Normandy is around the Umsel area, very working class area, a lot of professors, teachers, working class people, and is seen as a rich school district. Yet, if you go into the area, it is nothing like a Clayton, and it's certainly nothing like a Ladue school district.
And you serve on a school board locally, right, in U City?
Yes.
And so you guys have kind of seen what this possibly means, I suppose, where, like I said earlier, the rubber meets the road as far as what you're able to do. I know you guys are trying to sell a building.
We're trying to sell a few buildings.
Right. And now why are you trying to sell those buildings?
Because we realize that we have a declining enrollment and our tax base is aging, and our student population for the last 20 years has decreased. And we do not, which is a smart idea, the community decided about 3 years ago that we wanted to do two things. One is to have a decrease, and two, have certain new buildings that are environmentally sound. And so we are trying to address those two issues. In that process, we have two buildings, possibly three or four buildings in the next couple of years that are going to open. I will tell you that the conversation in terms of selling these buildings is pretty hard, and we're trying to balance all that with the current needs that we have in the district. So I will tell you, as a member of our finance committee in the school district that I represent or that I sit on, I will tell you that we are trying to figure out all the ways possible that we can save dollars and make cuts that do not impact student achievement. But you know what I will tell you, part of the conversation is always, like the elephant in the room, it's what is the state going to do? And last year, I can tell you offhand that the FERC Floor School District lost about $1 million in the withhold, the 2% withhold, and the district that I belong to. By the way, I'm wearing the colors of my school district today because I knew that we were going to talk about the foundation formula. So I am excited.
So am I. I got a red tie on.
I have my UCity Pride on right now.
Are they the Lions, right?
Lions, yeah, UCity Lions.
But, well, Senator, you have a mighty roar echoing from this chamber today.
But I'm certainly one of the brightest in the room. But in any case, our CFO and all of the CFOs in my Senate district have communicated with my office. I work especially close with our CFO in the University City School District, and he, first of all, should be paid more than he is for the quality of work that he does. But secondly, he has analyzed some of the things that Jesse has proposed in the two options. He has looked at Representative Thompson's bill, how that it would impact our district, and he has looked at 454 and has stated that 454 is definitely not an option for us. And if we're trying to negatively impact some of our districts, then the better route to go would be the House bill version.
Yeah, I think if you were choosing the lesser of the evils, I guess that's better. Quite frankly, if we don't do anything, I think Desi would have to follow the law as written. And I think
that, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think at that point, maybe we can have an honest conversation about the formula. We haven't been able to do that yet. There's just really no broad desire to have to talk about the formula. And everyone says, see, because here's the thing. We get to the point like this time in session the last 3 years, and this is your second year up here, and we get to April, and we say, well, we don't have time. We don't have time to do it, or we don't have we only do formula rewrites when there's new money. Well, you know, we have about a $400 million underfunded issue. We're not going to get to fully funding the formula anytime soon. So we ought to start dealing with it. And I just haven't seen that resolve.
Well, here's what I like to say, Senator. The conversation that you had with the senator from the 13th is absolutely accurate. I was in the House when we were doing the formula that we're in right now. And I remember the conversation. It was very important to have the voice of the urban core. And at that time, Barb Frazier was the champion on this issue of the formula, and she fought very hard on our hold harmless status. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't understand everything then. I had to learn about it. But now that I know, we made a deal. And now you're trying to go backwards on your deal?
Right. And you know what that going backwards means for St. Louis City? We're having this broad discussion, right, about education reform and what it means, and the Senator from the 4th will have an opportunity to speak, and I'm sure the Senator from the 5th would like to weigh in too. But the Senator from Johnson's proposal cost $6 million. So here we are in the middle of a debate on how do we deal with a situation where you have an unaccredited school district, kids who want to have more options,
We need to figure out a way to do things better, and we're talking about taking $6 million away.
Well, can I talk to you about that for a second?
Sure.
Now, you and I just spoke about the Normandy School District. That is one of the school districts that I was concerned about when we had the conversation of charter schools. And I'm also concerned about Ford Floor, University City. And when you have such a high tax base and most of the revenue is coming from the people who live in that area and then you institute charters and part of that money goes into the charter school, then on top of that, we have an elimination of, $1 million from revenue?
Mm-hmm.
All of that piled on top of each other ruins the ability a struggling school district to really do what they need to do. And that's what I was talking about last week, is having a consideration. I mean, though we were talking about charter schools last week, there are so many implications for districts that are like mine, who are in a situation where you have 70% or more of the funding coming from the tax base of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when are we going to get what we need for our kids so that they can learn? And, you know, the senator from the 21st last week said it's not only about money. And it's not all about money. That's why many of our school districts are trying to downsize. University City has been really good at that, and I constantly, push the button on the thorn in their
side. But, I believe that. You want to know what I think is frustrating about, you just said it's not about the money. What's frustrating about this debate is, ultimately, it does just come down to the money, because everybody picks up that spreadsheet. Nobody really digs into the formula to see what sort of things go into it. Again, paying for phantom kids and discounting the cost of living difference. And we want to talk about that. They just look at the far right column and what their school district is going to get. And if that's all we're going to do, okay, trust me, the urban and suburban senators, and quite frankly, some rural senators that may or may not have something to say about this, who represent hold harmless districts, are always going to be outnumbered. And the math is never going to make sense. And I'm not saying this thing's ever going to be fair, but it could be fairer. And I think that's all we're saying. And in fact, that's really not even what we're saying right now. We're just saying, first, do no harm. You know, first, just ignore. Don't ignore the deal. Don't try to change the rules in the middle of the game. And then we can have a broader discussion about how we rewrite the formula. And we all in the interim get together, whoever's interested, everybody. And it could be all 34 of us for all I care.
It takes a balance. It really does. And I think, 7 years ago when we were discussing this, we were really trying to balance. In 1993, when there was a foundation formula being discussed then, there was a balance. And I just calculated the difference between HB 1043 and the Senate bill, and it's $200,000. And I'm kind of baffled by that, because my CFO says it's the better 1042 or 3 is the better of the two. But in the end, it's still going to be a huge
Do you know how many parents overall? Do you know how many parents as teachers visits you can get for $200,000?
Oh, my goodness.
They're $55 a visit.
Oh, yes. We've had to change our Parents as Teachers program in my school district, and we are trying to get more of our parents involved in our district, and so having a quality Parents as Teachers program is really, really important.
Right. It is, and what I find, one of the things that, again, the Center from the 24th had some really good research last year that found its way into my binder, and there's a grid that I know he got from Desi that talks about percentage of local funding, percentage of state funding, and percentage of federal funding.
That's useful information.
It really is. Let's.
In fact, that's the kind of documentation we should always be bringing to the floor
right. When
we're making a consideration as important as this.
I won't name the district. But we played this game last year on the floor. Guess if it's hold harmless or formula. Okay, 92.6% local funding, 4.5% state, 2.9% federal. What kind of district do you think that is?
U City?
Well, no, not. It's actually Parkway.
Okay.
And I represent Parkway, so I feel at liberty to disclose the name of the district. But that's a hold harmless district.
Okay.
I'll give you another district, which I will not. 25% local funding, 53% state, and 20% federal.
That sounds like something in North.
That sounds like a formula district, doesn't it?
It may be a formula, but, you know, there are some poor districts. I will tell you that when Wellston existed, their funding, 57%, came from the state at that time. So, but they weren't formula, I don't think.
But I just look up and down this, and I see, you know, I see 40% local, 25% local, 36% local, 32% local, 39% local, 32% local, 31% local, 27% local. And then I see 92% local, 95% local, 94% local. And it just happens to be that the senator from the 1st, the senator from the 7th, the senator from the 15th, the senator from the 14th, the senator from the 24th, the senator from the 4th, the 5th, the 8th, the senator from the 8th represents a lot of those districts. And all we're saying is, we know we're not going to fix all that today, but don't act like we're fixing the formula by saying a solution is to shift $60 million away from districts that haven't got any new money during this phase-in.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody that listens to that or hears that argument could possibly believe that's fair. But yet, here we are on the floor talking about it, and I don't know how long the senator from the 23rd wants to do this, but this isn't my idea of how you come to a solution. Because it's not like this is a new issue. It's not like there's a recent court decision that we're trying to deal with, or there's some, you know, monumental shift in the law that we're trying to address. Everybody's seen this coming. And the senator from CAPE has a very different reason for opposing this and not wanting this to happen than I do. But nonetheless, the fundamental premise is, hey, there was a deal. You know, and everybody signed on the deal. I'm not sure, quite frankly, if I would have been, that wouldn't have been the deal that I wanted, but it is the deal. But you don't see me coming up here saying, well, yeah, I know that was the deal in 05, but could we just get an extra $5 million per hold harmless district? I mean, you'd get laughed out of this place. But here we are, $60 million away from districts that haven't gotten any new money. And I would welcome anyone to debate me or explain to me as to how that is an equitable solution to this. And I know we want to avoid wild shifts, and we want predictability. But nobody was complaining about wild shifts of hundreds of millions of dollars being plugged into those, into that formula and going to other districts other than ours when it was happening. I didn't hear talk about, oh, we got to deal with some school districts getting more and some school districts getting less. Just be fair, be consistent on it. That's all I ask. And again, I think we're having to deal with this now.
Here's the other thing. How much money from our area, from our region in Kansas, goes to the rest of the state?
Well, the 45% of the state's GDP comes from the St. Louis region. And by best calculation, maybe 30% comes back. There's an imprecise calculation I've been able to put together per Senate district. And I've said this before, and I'm not bragging about it, but the 15th gets the fewest amount back. So I know we're net donors. And at a basic level, I understand that that's the way it is. You know, that's how you fund services. That's how we have roads that connect great towns all across the state. That's how you enable commerce in the northern part of the state to feed into. I get all that. And, you know, but at the same time, we recognize that's how this works. There also has to be a dual and a reciprocal recognition of the way that
exactly,
it works.
Exactly. You're right on that. And see, that we have a commitment from our region to have one strong state, not a divided state, but one strong state. And as you mentioned, 45% of what comes into our GR is from our region, and we're not asking for all of that back. You know, we need to get something else in return for that.
All we're saying is just don't take away what you're not under the law entitled to take away. That's all we're saying. We're not even saying give us more. We're saying it is illegal for you to do this. It's in the law. It's pretty clear. And now we have a bill to make it lawful.
Now, if it doesn't happen, I had an opportunity. Commissioner Nicastro is she's a professional. She does a good job.
Came to my office last week.
Yeah, I disagree with her. I don't write generally. I don't write really strongly worded letters to department heads to get a rise out of it. I mean, I try to be practical, pragmatic, have a conversation, not call anybody out when they don't deserve to be called out. But I was looking through my binder here, starting back in 2 years ago when this supplemental thing happened. You're not allowed to do this. Violate separation of powers. Keep doing it. Then, warning.
Excuse me, Senator. The noise level on my left is getting extremely loud. When I either take conversations outside or tone it down a little bit. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you. Warning, the next year. Hey, coming up, 2012 session, trying to avoid where I think we're going. We're not going to fully fund the formula. The only measure that you have is the reduction of the student adequacy target. Let's try and figure something out. Then, in November of 2011, I get on a conference call with the senator from Johnson, and somebody from DESE is telling me, well, you know, Senator, if you don't do the senator from Johnson's plan, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to have special school district, instead of doing what the Senator Johnson's proposing in losing $2.9 million, what we're going to do is you're going to lose $5.2 million. And I said, I don't respond well to that. That, to me, is not a dialogue. That is an arbitrary, and I know what they're going to do. It's clear as day. They're going to do it for political reasons. They're not going to want to have every superintendent across the state saying, how can you give this money to these rich districts? That's not what this dynamic is about.
And don't forget, not all of the districts are rich.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at five of the districts that are so-called rich, and they're in my Senate district, and I can tell you, I'm in those schools 9 times a week, and they're not rich.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the middle-class family that lives in Kirkwood, okay, that has two, and I don't know what people think Kirkwood looks like. Kirkwood's a great community, but there's a lot of starter homes. There's a lot of homes that people can afford, okay, regular people can afford. The people that I grew up with, regular folks who are now having to work two jobs, and in order to live in that area, in order to live in that place where they can send their kids to a really good school district, who, by the way, now they don't have the ability to determine the number of students that are in that school district because of the Turner decision that we probably can't resolve this year for a variety of reasons, so we can't solve that problem, but they're paying a lot of money in taxes, and why? Not because they want to, okay? Not because St. Louis County inherently is so messed up that everybody from across the state says, you guys are nuts. You guys are crazy. No, the dynamic that is set in this formula, which is you cannot do any of that stuff with those schools that you want to do. You can't have KECC, early childhood. You can't have kindergarten. You can't fund parents as teachers unless you do it locally. And they do it locally. And here we are now with a bill that punishes that local effort. It says, good for you. We know we honored the deal when we were getting more money and you didn't get anything, but now we want to take it away from you. I mean, I feel like I'm living in a world. I mean, it's just, all
see,
it is
that
that's
was,
where the money is.
That
yep,
deal,
Jesse James, Rob's Banks, that's where the money is.
Senator, that deal was made for our votes. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
That deal was made in exchange for our votes so that we can protect our districts. And now we're going backwards. We should have all just voted no.
Yeah, the formula would have never passed. And maybe
without
I'm wrong.
Our votes.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
Without without our votes. And don't forget, I do believe there was a senator who is here now in his last year who was in the House when we discussed this, and he was concerned. He's one of the senators who has about like 100 small school districts. And he was concerned about his small school districts and added a provision for his small school districts that are also hold harmless. And that's where our urban core legislators came together with some of the rules. So it's not just the urban core who,
To get votes, my understanding, to get votes, that's why we have the small school grant. We needed to get rural small school votes. So we said, here's the deal. You guys, and anybody who was here, I wasn't here. This is the story as I've done, try to investigate this.
in order to get this thing done, okay, you're going to get paid for kids that don't go to your district. Oh, okay. That's great. My superintendents will love that. Wait a minute. You mean I don't have to go to local taxpayers and ask for more money if we want to do something? I can just get paid by the state for not having the same number of kids? Sure. Where do I sign? Sounds great. And now, I don't see a proposal from the senator from Johnson or anybody else to eliminate that. Where's that at? I don't see a proposal from anybody to say, okay, since we're going to rewrite this thing, let's take a full calculation of the cost of living difference. I don't see that.
Absolutely, and that was a major concern in 2005 when we discussed this.
Right, it's because everybody acknowledges people signed on the deal until we do a new formula.
Still have the same overhead for the cost of buildings, as Barb Fraser said back then. We still have all of the same expenses as we did, and that by far should put us in a different category. And that category has, that the attempt to take that category away in the last several years has been very strong. And we have an argument, but what I wanted to say is the senator from the 4th is the biggest loser in this.
Oh, yeah.
Senator from the 5th and the senator from the 4th, they are indeed the biggest losers. And here's what the three of, or the four of us, if I include the senator from the 13th, here's what we have in common. What we have in common is that we have a challenging environment for the outcomes of students. And we're competing, our traditional schools are competing with charter schools in the city, of course. But with the expansion that we added last week, on top of all of the economic challenges that we have, the educational challenges that we have, then on top of all of that, we're going to reduce the amount of money per pupil. Now, that puts us in a very detrimental situation. And when I was saying in committee, I said last week, this is completely a balancing act. And if we do not put all of the pieces on the board in front of us and try to fit them into the right place, then there are going to be some big, big, big challenges.
You know what I want to call this? I want to call this foundation Jenga, okay? Because you can't just pull one thing out, okay? This is a larger part of a puzzle. And
exactly.
And that's out of respect for other people who need to fight for their districts. That would be what we would do around here. Because, and part of the inquiry, purpose of the inquiry, which, again, I don't know how long the Center for the 23rd wants to spend on this, but to go around and demonstrate the broad-based, bipartisan opposition to this legislation. And until we can have an honest conversation about how we look at the foundation formula, I don't see room for legislation that shifts $60 million away from districts that haven't gotten any new money.
Let me tell you, for the senator...
And that might be my soundbite. I've been talking a lot. Maybe that's the soundbite there. I don't know, but...
Right. I mean, you have a senator from the 7th. You have our regional senators, St. Louis City and County, and then yourself and other senators. We're all coming together. Though we disagree on certain fundamental things in other areas, we are coming together. This should be a statement.
Absolutely.
Be a statement to all for us to be
and to say, you know what? Here's
on the same core, same message.
We may have all been in the dark before about how we fund schools and the process, but no longer. We have seen the light.
Right,
and no longer are we going to just sort of enter into these agreements that can only be breached by one party. And that's what we're dealing with. It is a material breach of an agreement that isn't about I'll buy your wagon or I'll buy some whatever from you. This is a multi-hundreds of millions of dollars a year deal that we are cavalierly saying, sorry, here's the rug. I am now pulling it out from underneath you. Why? Well, I got some superintendents back home wondering if we're going to get more money next year. Well, guess what? You're not. Nobody is. We're doing pretty good as a state to keep K-12 education funding stable.
Can I tell you something,
States
Senator?
Across this country are slashing K-12.
That's true.
We can do better, but first, do no harm.
Can I tell you something? I'm looking at the per-pupil expenditures. Our CFO put this together for me. And I'm looking at FERC Floor. It's one of my school districts that's right on the cusp of being fully accredited, and they've been doing really, really well in the last few years. Now, their per pupil expenditure is $10,000. It's, for our region, it's among the lowest of some of our school districts. $10,000. Their loss would be about over $1 million. Now, and I think it's more than that, but the withhold, that 2% withhold, was $1 million in itself last year.
Right.
To the Third Floor School District. Now, they have one of the largest school districts. That is one of the largest school districts in St. Louis County, along with Hazelwood and some of the others. In this, Hazelwood actually fares better. Rittner fares better because those are formula school districts. But our Hold Harmless school districts, and especially the ones that seem, they're called the rich school districts again. And I think that's the little secret in all of this. Normandy, Jennings, are you kidding me? Jennings, right. Rich? Jennings. Now, Senator, I've been getting on you because you've been forgetting University City as part of that labeled rich school districts, and it's not. But Jennings, now that's right. Like the difference between black and white. It's certainly not a rich school district.
Well, and I think some people are surprised to know when they say, oh my gosh, we're spending $16,000 a year in St. Louis City, and these are the outcomes, or we're spending $13,000 a year in Kirkwood. That's not state money. And we'll get to this. Kirkwood gets about $300 a kid, okay? $300 a kid. Now, you add it up over a whole school district, it's a lot of money. But, you know, let's just sort of let everybody know that money for that kid's education comes from local taxpayers. And we have a system in place that only allows those areas to raise money that way. And that's not the case in other parts of the state, and I'm not going to change that overnight, and that's probably maybe never going to happen. But all I'm saying today is, first, do no harm. You know, we cannot be shifting money. And because if you go net to net, if you want to start back at 2005 and look at the dollars that any of these districts that we're trying to quote-unquote protect now, if you go net to net, the amount of money they've received over that seven-year period, compare that to the money that the Hold Harmless districts have received. So you're looking at a projection here now for next year, but that's a one-year snapshot. That doesn't take into account all the money that's flowed to all these districts over 7 years.
And then what happens 10 years later, and that's what I'm encouraging my school districts to do, is to look what's your frequency, what's happening right now, and what is your forecast in 10 years? In University City, we know that we're not going to have the same number of students, and we're going to have to make adjustments. That's
right.
Why they have been acting very smart in terms of reducing our overall cost. We're able to do that right now. But at the same time, there are other things that we have to account for, and I think there's a senator who has special guests.
Three senators on the floor. Senator Green, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests to the Senate.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hesitated to interrupt our riveting debate on education, and I appreciate the opportunity and the members' indulgence to introduce the Holland Elementary 4th and 5th grade class from Springfield. There are 67 students in the upper gallery listening to this debate about funding for education. And they are also here with a number of teachers, Kim Bush, Stelina Snyder, Jonathan Hughes, Beth Brewer, Gay Sands, and Ella Strutton. I would ask that they all be made welcome here in the Missouri Senate.
With the guests of Senator from Green, please rise and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from the 15th, what reason do you look to seek recognition?
Well, I'd continue my inquiry with the Senator from the 14th. Senator, did you know who's here today?
Who's here?
Dean Marshall and Logan Marshall are here. Logan is the fashionably dressed young man with a tie on, who I'd like to be made a page for the day, and would ask for now unanimous consent, Mr. President, to introduce special guests.
That'd be a good idea, Senator.
Thank you.
Hearing
I was
no
going to try to win,
Senator,
but I don't think I could be
Senator,
made a page unless
Senator, hearing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to have Logan be made a page for the day.
He will be made page for the day with compensation to the senator from the 15th.
And for and my colleagues to welcome Ms.
And with the guests of the senator from the 15th, please rise and the body make them feel welcome.
Mr. President. She's got the watch on, the new sneakers. Looks good. Logan looks good. Yeah, he's ready. Don't read this bill, Logan. It does harm where we live.
Senator, you may proceed with your debate.
Thank you. Where were we? Were you talking or was I talking? I don't remember.
I think I was talking, but it's so okay. We can just continue.
Yes. So why don't you rattle off, because I'm always fascinated by your district in that you've got, what, 41 municipalities?
42 municipalities. 42.
Now, what school districts are included in that wonderful maze of municipalities?
Now you're testing me. This is what Rita Days did to me last, or 2 years ago. She tested me on all of the school districts in the district. So I have University City. I have Normandy. I have Jennings. I have Rittner. I have Pattonville. I have FERC Florissant. I have the special school district, and there's another school, one more school district that I'm forgetting.
Do you pick up or lose many districts in the redistricting? You shifted a little.
I go down to 39 municipalities.
Oh, congratulations.
42 to 39. This is great for me. That means there are 21 less people that I have to deal with in terms of, you know, council members and mayors, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think I have 15 municipalities.
I have the opposite side of Bridgeton.
You lose
your parents.
The senator from the 24th now gets those angry phone calls from Steve Schmidt, probably. But I have 15 municipalities, I think 15 municipalities, and I remember when I was running the first time, I had done, as a lawyer, had done a lot of work, you know, sort of locally, and so I knew some of the city attorneys and some of the, and it helped. But going around and getting endorsements from council members and mayors, I mean, it's a lot of work. That's a lot of coffees at Caldy's, so I can't imagine
I have a program. I have the 8 school districts that I mentioned to you. I have various religious private schools. And my staff, we've set up a program where I am in not only schools, but now nursing homes. I have, as I mentioned before to you, I have a book club at one of my nursing homes. I have 20 nursing homes, by the way. And I have a quarterly meeting that I have with mayors. And Mayor Bowers, who's the mayor of your mayor, yeah. Who is a phenomenal person,
yeah.
Who's been elected for, I think, 25 years.
You want to know what's interesting? So the senator from Cape might appreciate this. He's one of the few people listening here. So everybody knows I was involved in the Aerotropolis effort last year, which was this idea of the airport could mean a lot and what can happen around the airport. I grew up in Bridgeton, which surrounds the airport. A lot of my family members were bought out to make way for that runway that wiped out, I mean, really a great middle-class area. In fact, Carrollton and Carrollton Oaks was the first planned community in the country after World War II, where you had sort of design streets and cul-de-sacs and cookie-cutter homes and all that. So, I mean, I'm not sure they would have qualified for historic preservation tax credits, but it was historical in nature, and that all got wiped out. And when I was, you know, I started to get a little politically active, there was this group that would meet at the Carrollton Club called the Bridgeton Air Defense. It was bad, and they were opposing the W1W plan that sort of went in, and I was just learning about, well, they could go east or they could go west, and it was very, unbeknownst to me, of course, very political at a federal level as to where that runway went and could you land two planes in bad weather at the same time. It was just fascinating. But Conrad Bowers was the last holdout. He was the last guy to get bought out. And
he's gotten a lot for it, too. Have you seen that new City Hall?
That's
really awesome.
Yeah, he got something on the way out, I guess, and that City Hall is a testament to that. But his house, did he get hit by the tornado? I think he...
Neighborhood did, yes.
Okay, yeah, because my parents, that tornado last Good Friday,
the house next to his was hit by the tornado.
Okay.
From the pictures he showed.
I grew up in Harmon Estates, and it went, which is between Old St. Charles and St. Charles Rock Road, 270 and 70, and that tornado ripped, it went right through their subdivision and half of the subdivision devastated, homes gone. My parents' half is like, you know, nothing ever happened. And my dad jokes that he was, you know, because he, of course, they weren't downstairs, you know, like this is happening and this is a deadly tornado. And he said he joked, you know, he was standing outside with a Budweiser and the tornado sucked it away. That's how close the tornado was. And it was devastating. I mean, it was pretty amazing. But Bridgeton's a great community. They've done pretty well. A lot of the folks who were bought out have still settled in Bridgeton. They didn't move maybe necessarily to St. Charles like a lot of folks from North County have moved to St. Charles in the last two decades, and primarily because of Pattonville School District. And so we get back now. Why do people make decisions? Why do people live where they live? School districts, right, wrong, and different, matter. And Pattonville has made, they're a hold harmless district. They were one of the Super 16.
That is one of the most amazing school districts of all of my school districts. And
yeah.
I will tell you, I love going to Bridgeway Elementary School.
Bridgeway, that's where I went to kindergarten.
Really?
Yes.
It's a great school.
And then I went to St. Blaise.
Yeah. Cul-de-sac.
Yes, it's beautiful. And then I went to, I went to Bridgeway for kindergarten. Then I went to St. Blaise for first through fourth. I had some quote-unquote disciplinary issues, I think. And I moved on to Remington. Yeah, the Secretary of the Senate maybe knows what he's talking about. nothing bad. I sought attention, I think, is what they thought. Here I am on the Senate floor. But then I went to Remington Traditional, which was the reason why it was called a traditional school. My sister teaches there now because they went first through eighth grade. It wasn't like the junior high. You go to elementary, then junior high. You went all the way through. Ironically, I went and spoke to my sister's class at Remington last year and her.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I ask that Senate Bill 454 be placed on the informal calendar.
It will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
President, without objection, Senate will go to the order of business. Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 739.
Senate bills for perfection.
Senator for the 4th.
Informal calendar, Senate Bill 739, Senator from the 4th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 739 be taken up for perfection.
You heard the motion of the Senator from the 4th. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 4th.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is I move adoption of, never mind. This is a pretty uncomplicated bill. This simply allows administrative hearing officers and a Department of Family Services to correct their own mistakes. Previously, if they were to enter an order, in order to correct it, they'd have to appear before a judge and have a court order to do it. I should emphasize that this will not allow the hearing officer to amend or correct any judicial order. It's only for their own, and it's predicated upon notice to all the parties. There's plenty of due process. It should be a pretty simple bill. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Senator from the 4th has moved that Senate Bill 739 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Cape, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
I yield, Senator. You may proceed.
I'm sorry, Senator. I know I was kind of... this is Senate Bill 739?
739, that's correct.
Okay. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for carrying the... prevailing wage bill. I know the senator from Stoddard. I'm going to see if I can get the senator from Jefferson and senator from 13th up here, see how fast it takes them to run up the steps. Maybe they'll be there, but I'm glad you've seen the light on prevailing wage and
anything
right
I can do to
help move it. So basically all you're doing, what do we call that, nunc pro or pro nunc, where the judge, by his or her own order, can do corrective.
The judge, just the administrative.
Well, but in a circuit court, an associate circuit court, they have the power of pro nunc or whatever that is by their own order to
like
correct.
Like 30 days or something?
Yeah. I mean, it's a Supreme Court rule. Administrative hearing officers are not covered by Supreme Court rules and things like that. So we need to statutorily authorize them, I guess, to do any of this. Is that right?
That's exactly what we're doing here, and it's really for obvious mistakes, maybe a wrong birth date or a wrong mill initial.
Yeah, or a typo or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, very good, and this is just within the administrative hearing officers.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, very good. And I think that's called pro-nunc, isn't it? Or nunc-pro or pro-nunc-pro-tunc? The judge already knows. The judge already knows. So.
Studying.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably already got the judicial canons memorized and everything else. So, very good. Thank you, Senator, very much.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Florida. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from the 4th has moved the Senate Bill 739 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
On the order of business of announcements. Senator Johnson.
Thank you very much. Your hardworking education committee will meet at 1:30 p.m. promptly at the Senate Lounge for our weekly education committee meeting. Promptly.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank
on
you.
The order of business of announcements, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the Senator from Lewis, and as I represent a rural district, this is important to me as well. Your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources will have its hearing at noon in Senate Committee Room 1.
Thanks, Senator. We're still in the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
Heard the motion of the Senator from the 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned until recess until 3 p.m. today.